I'm talking about something today that, and my style, I'm open, I'm transparent. I tell you stuff that maybe I shouldn't. If my wife were here, she'd say, "I can't believe you said that," you know, and that sort of thing. But that's just the way I think we're supposed to be. I think we're supposed to be open and transparent with one another. And I think the scriptures teach us that. You got to be careful who you are open and transparent with, because, you know, but I think we can trust all of y'all. There was a time in my life right after I became born again where I was struggling with some things. And one of the things was actually, and I could actually put my you know, you after you become born again, you're studying, you're reading, you're trying to find out what this new life is about. It's just really like this new awesome life. And so you're trying to find out what it's about. And then I started realizing that, and like we all do, we start realizing we don't match up with what it says we're supposed to be doing. And so I started praying about these things. And one of the things that was bothering me was I wasn't really able to love like I thought I needed to be loving. In fact, I was kind of the opposite. I was a little on the mean side, especially to the people that were closer to me. People I worked with, well, you know, that was just kind of like a given. You're supposed to be mean to them. But the people that you're, well, maybe not, but I mean, that's how I thought about it at the time. But when you come home, you got a family and you love those people. And I wasn't doing like I should. And without going a whole bunch of examples, I just realized there was an issue, but I didn't know why the issue was there. So I went to the Lord. I just started talking to him about it. And he was like silent, didn't really say a whole lot to me. And so I find some scriptures, and as is the case for all of us when we're studying the scriptures and we hear what he's saying to us, there's a page that just like leaps up off a scripture that just leaps up off the page. And that was happening, and I was looking at this, and it had something to do with like the way we were thinking. Every scripture had something to do with the way that I was thinking and what was going on in my mind. And there was a scripture at the time that I was trying to memorize, and it was in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, that says that the weapons of our warfare are not of this world, carnal, but they're mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into obedience with Christ. Now, if you see that, you realize there's imaginations, thoughts, and whatever else I would say. It all had to do with the mind, right? So I realized what was going on, but I couldn't quite memorize that scripture. And I've told this story here before, and so you all, probably some of you have heard it, but we went off to see a Christian comedian back in the day. This was in the 80s, and we laughed until my side was hurting so bad. But when I walked out of there, I was going off to pick up the kids from the babysitter, and I knew that I needed to stay there and talk to somebody. I didn't know who the somebody was, so I told my wife, "Do you mind go get the kids?" She went to go get the kids. I'd meet me back in the parking lot. Weren't cell phones back in those days, so you had to do it by osmosis. And so I tried to communicate ahead of time, and then I went back inside, and the place is full of people, and they're all laughing, and so the main speaker's over there, and there was a line to go get his autograph or whatever, so I thought, well, I'll just go get in line. Maybe he's the guy I need to talk to. And while I'm standing in line, this guy goes walking by back into one of the back rooms, and I'm like, it's like he just lit up to me, like, whoa, that's the guy. So I just like took off over there after him, and I followed him, and I'm sure he didn't know what was going on, but when he walked into the pastor's office, he turned around and said, "Can I help you?" He was the pastor of this church. And I was like, oh, wow, yeah, I guess you can. He goes, "All right, well, look, I can't do it here. There's too much business." He went to the copy room, closed the door. He goes, "So tell me what's going on." So I start telling him what I just kind of told y'all, except maybe in a little more detail. And he says, "Oh, you have unforgiveness." And I said, "How do you know that?" He goes, "Your dad was a pastor, wasn't he?" And I said, "Wait a minute, do you know me?" He goes, no, it's not like that. The Spirit of God gives us gifts, and right now he's just basically telling me that you have unforgiveness towards your dad, the pastor. Somehow he hurt you in the past." And I was like, "Oh, I don't think that's true." He goes, "Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just, why don't you just say this? We're going to pray a little bit." And he goes, "Are you sure there wasn't a time in the past where he hurt you?" And while he was praying, I started remembering a time where some things happen, like, you know, happen between son and father. These things happen between son and father. So I was like, well, you know, that doesn't seem to be that big a deal. He goes, tell you what, why don't you, while you're remembering that, just say these words. Dad, I love you and I forgive you. And I'm remembering this, and I could not say those words. I could get, Dad, I love you, but I couldn't get the rest of it out. And after some time of praying, I can't tell you the things that happened exactly without a whole lot of, you know, rigmarole here. But the bottom line is, at the end of that conversation and prayer, I felt like 1,000,000 pounds had been lifted off of my back. And I was just, I mean, all these people are in there. I didn't even care. I was just like, yes, yes, yes. I was jumping up and down. I was crying. And I was just like, oh, yes, I love you. I forgive you. I love you. I forgive you. And it just like it all released. All at once. And from that, you know, I was back in my 20s when all that happened, and I'm, you know, fairly close to 20s now, but, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not, okay, but maybe I was one of those preachers in the boat. anyway, so our conversation today, or, you know, talk is about that. It's about forgiveness. And I think it's one of the most important things that we can learn. It's a tool that we've been given, that all humans have, but that Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and our belief and faith in him specifically empowers us to do this where most natural humans can't, they have trouble with it. And not only that, but if we play with it too much, unforgiveness, and we harbor it, it becomes something the Bible calls bitterness. And here's the tricky part. Most of us don't really know we have it. It's like having COVID or some communicable disease and not really knowing that you have the symptoms, but you're still spreading it around. And it causes a weight on us on the inside that we begin to get semi-used to, and we find ourselves getting worn out physically, emotionally, spiritually, and pretty much every way in life, because it's a weight that we're dragging with us as we try to get through sometimes each moment of the day, and we don't really understand what's happening inside of us. And it's not an emotional issue necessarily. It is emotional, but it's a spiritual issue for us, because the Bible tells us that the enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, goes about to seek and devour whoever he wants to, whoever he can. And one of the ways that he does that is he works in our mind. I mean, he always works in our mind to do that, but one of the ways he does that is in our mind, he works to get us to the place where we're not willing to forgive. Now, I'm going to tell you that forgiveness is a lot like repentance. It's actually a choice to turn. And so when we came to Jesus and we repented, we turned to him and began walking that direction. And I'm not saying we always do. There may be some hesitations here and there. We might even step back a little bit. But in the end, we've made a decision. I will follow Jesus. And it's a love decision. Or it's some other decision out of fear, but one way or the other, whatever the motivation is, it's a decision that we make in the same way that we make a decision to get married and stay like that. Now, a lot of people, you know, I understand there's divorces, I understand there's split-ups and things like that, but the way God designed marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, we read that the man and the woman become one flesh, and because of that, there's not supposed to be whatever God's put together, let no man put asunder, you've heard it say, right? But that's God's plan for a man and a woman to be joined together like one and live as one. And he wants it to be for lifetime, if not eternity. And in that same way that you get married to somebody, you make a commitment to them in front of everyone that I'm not going to, you're saying the nots, okay? and you become a not person. I'm not going to go with other people. I'm not going to entertain the ideas and thoughts of being with another person. I'm not going to hurt this person by doing something that's not right with another person, you know, sexually or whatever. And then you have the I ams. I am going to love this person with my whole heart. I am going to study this person and find out what pleases them. I am going to be a person that they can hang on to. I'm going to love them. And that's the kind of commitment that we're making. And the Bible tells us that it's a mystery, kind of, sort of. But the bottom line is that kind of relationship is the same relationship that He's asking from us to Him. And the reason why is because He's made that commitment to us. And to prove the commitment, to prove His unfathomable love, He came in the form of a man, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Bible says. He came in the form of this baby and then lived like a human and was a human and then gave Himself on a cross, even though He had no sin, no wrong, no issues at all. He gave Himself on a cross for us so that we could be forgiven and cleansed and have a relationship with the Father, the Creator of the universe. He invaded earth, became like us, so that we could become like Him. He came here to be broken so that we could be fixed. And then in His brokenness, He became alive again so that He's not broken anymore. He's completely whole, and He offers that to anybody who wants it out of His love. Out of His love, He offers forgiveness and just a release from anything that we've done that's off, wrong, bad. You could even go so far to say Jesus died for Hitler. Jesus died for whoever. You can name the worst person on the face of the planet. Jesus had that person. He covered that person's sins and offers forgiveness to that person. Because of His love, He died for us all. And He rose from the dead so that we could all have new life and walk away from the things that are bad. And that is the love that we have, or the love that He has for us. And He's showed His commitment of love to us in that way so that we could respond to it. And as Christians, we respond to it, right? And it's a repentance. But in the same way that He's asking us to turn to Him, in that same way He's asking us to turn away from unforgiveness. He's asking us to be like Him. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and I think it's 32, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, I have a Bible right here. Let me look at that. Yeah, so we're going to read 32 all the way through 5:2. Now, I'm reading in the New International Version, and we may have some folks that... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot this one thing I was supposed to say over here. We were talking about the scriptural basis of Him forgiving. You know, I want to bring us back to the Bible every time. But in Luke 1:77, there's a discussion about Jesus coming. And it says there, He's coming. They're going to call His name Jesus because to give His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins. This is announcing why he was coming, and it's talking about that. And then in Acts 13:38, taking Jesus' birth and then His life and then His death and resurrection, Acts, all this happened after His resurrection, and Peter's standing up there preaching, and he says in 13:38, "So let it be clearly known to you that through Him, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to you." God's offering forgiveness. Okay, so I'm not saying it. He's saying it, and I'm just trying to make sure it's clear. So now back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, Man, that's a mouthful all by itself. I'm telling you, and it's not a difficult thing. Again, it's a decision. With us Christians, it's in there already. He gave us His Holy Spirit to change us. It's in there already. This love that He has for us, this agape love, the Greek word called agape, and you can look at that later, it's all-encompassing. It's all, it's like I'm laying down myself for the object of my love and my adoration. And He's talking about being kind and compassionate, and that heart of love and that kind and compassionate is something that should flow out, it could flow out of us with a decision. And so if somebody cuts you off in traffic, or somebody, you know, jumps in line in front of you at the grocery store, instead of a natural response that starts to be like, well, who do you think you are? You know, that kind of thing. What's inside of us, the decision that we can make, is to say, no, go ahead. I made this spot just for you. I had a gap here just for you. That's why the gap was there, so you could move in there. I'm here for you. And then, if you're really, like, you know, paying attention, Holy Spirit, the Lord may just say, buy their groceries. Or help them carry their groceries out to the car. And that's the kind of person that He's asking us to be to everybody, even our enemies. Jesus says, be kind to your enemies. If somebody asks to go a mile with you, go 2 miles with them. And He's specifically talking about the Romans, because of the way the Romans did things. Hey, carry my pack. And you're like on your way to the store, and your wife sent you to the store for something real quick, you know, like milk or whatever, and you're on your way over there, and the Roman just grabs you and says, hey, I want you to carry this pack for me. Well, wait a minute. No, come here. And if you didn't, you're in trouble. Jesus is saying, for that guy, walk with him 2 miles. And then go beg forgiveness from your wife. Oh, I'm sorry. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The forgiveness of the Creator is in the Christ. We are forgiven. And because we have freely been forgiven, we have the right, the privilege, to freely forgive. It's what He wants in us. Now that's tough. It's tough. I'm not saying it's not. But in essence, it comes down to a decision. What do you want? Do you want to be like Jesus and offer forgiveness, or do you want to be like everybody else in the world that doesn't? So 5:1 says, be imitators of God. Do you want to be imitator of God? And it's not just possible, it's what His plan is for us. That's the whole purpose, is for us to be imitators of God, to be the people who act like Him. And therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, if you notice, He's talking about forgiveness here, and He's talking about that we're dearly loved children, and we've discussed that a little bit. But what I think is really awesome is that in the same way that Christ gave Himself up for us, we give ourselves up for the people around us. Now, it really should be relatively easy to do at home with kids, and wife or husband, mom, dad. It should be relatively easy to do. And here's the deal. You gotta know this. I mean, going in, everybody knows this, but sometimes you forget. We all hurt each other. Every last one of us. And you can look at the other person and go, well, that hurt me. No, I'm through with you. And that's a little bit of a problem if it's your spouse. It's a little bit of a problem if it's your dad or mom. It's a problem if it's your kid. You may not necessarily see it as such a big problem if it's a coworker, but it's a problem with your coworker because it causes such division and issues. Somebody, somewhere, has to defuse the bomb, because unforgiveness is a bomb that explodes. Once it's lit, if it's not put out, it's going to explode. Something, somewhere. Now, let me tell you what usually happens. For most people, unforgiveness causes issues inside that cause issues with the body. So you find yourself in some sort of an issue with your body. Either you're sick or run down or wore out or you're can't pay attention or you have to drink more coffee than you used to. Whatever the problem might be, unforgiveness could be the reason for that. You know what? I could start one of those, hey, you might be a redneck if, and I could do it like this. You might have unforgiveness if. You might have unforgiveness if. When you see a person, something inside goes, nobody else has felt that before. Come on. Come on. I'm not the only one that's felt that. And sometimes it happens when you're watching the television. Maybe you're of a political persuasion, and when you see a specific person on television, you go, That's a level of unforgiveness that you really don't want to accept and let into your heart. It's going to stop you from being who God's asked you to be. And because God's asked us to be that, it means that there's blessings on the other side of it. The blessings you're looking for are on the other side of the unforgiveness. You've got to go through the unforgiveness to forgiveness to get the blessings that He's looking for. Now, that's the WIFM, the what's in it for me part of it for you. What's in it for the rest of the world? They get to see somebody that's legitimately godly, doing godly things, and that it's possible. Not is it possible, but this person's actually doing it. Oh, I'm telling you, it changed. When Jesus changed the world, He changed us to go change the world. And it's up to us to do what He's telling us to do. And this is the one thing that holds us back more than anything else, is harboring an unforgiveness in our hearts. I was, tell you a quick little story. My son and I went camping at National Park up on the north side of Houston. And one of the things we were doing, just, you know, togetherness, hanging out, going hiking, basically. And one of the things we were hiking to on a map of the park was the largest magnolia tree in the state of Texas. Well, now I'm a Texas native, and so I get really proud about Texas things. And if this is the largest thing in the largest state, well, besides Alaska, the largest state, then I want to go see it. So we're hiking to this magnolia tree, and we're looking at the map and looking around on the trail, and I don't see this magnolia tree. It says it should be right here, right around this bend. And do you see it? No, I don't see it. And then he goes, oh, there it is. And I'm looking. He goes, no, on the ground. This magnolia tree. Y'all, I've never seen a trunk. I mean, it was huge. Huge. But it wasn't growing anymore. The whole thing had fallen over onto the ground dead. And I was like, what happened? And why didn't they tell me about that before I walked out here to see it? You know? Way I think. Anyway, so upon further investigation, I realized ants. Somewhere this tree ended up getting damaged and ants started crawling in. Just first, maybe just one, maybe two. You know how ants work. You see one or two in your house before you know what's going on. They're crawling all over the place if you don't take care of it. Well, this poor magnolia tree had no way to take care of it. When the ants come in, they bring more disease with them. But one way or the other, the fungus or the ants, something, got this tree, the largest magnolia tree in the state of Texas. And when they wrote this thing out, this map, and for hundreds of years, I don't know, maybe hundreds of years, maybe I don't know how long, this tree's been standing there. People have been coming and looking at it. But while they were looking at it, over time, something was happening to the tree that nobody completely saw or paid attention to. This disease, this little fungus, little thing started growing in and eating up a little here and a little there until eventually the whole tree couldn't stand up under the weight of the deterioration that was happening at the base. Boom! And it hits the ground. unforgiveness is the same way. Any sin is the same way. They're all the same. But we're talking about unforgiveness today, and that unforgiveness starts coming in slowly. It starts eating away on the inside. A little at a time in our minds as we start thinking about, well, she shouldn't have talked to me. He shouldn't have talked to me. They need to be straightening out. They need to be minding me. That guy shouldn't have treated me that way at work. He shouldn't have said those things about me. He shouldn't have sent that email. And as those thoughts start, we have an opportunity, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. And what I'm finding is most of the time, what I'm thinking isn't a fact. It's an imaginative thing that some thought's trying to stir me up into believing that, well, that guy doesn't like me, or that guy's trying to hurt me, or that guy's trying to steal my job, or that guy's trying to take my money, or that girl. And those kinds of thoughts are imaginative in their process, and we begin to grab a hold of them if we're not careful, and they begin to eat at the base of our huge magnolia tree that God has built, until eventually, if we're not careful, we'll find the magnolia tree falling. And when it falls, it kind of looks like you find yourself into alcohol, drugs, pornography, anything that will solve and help eliminate the pain on the inside. You find yourself getting lost in entertainment or the entertainment world or whatever in order to try to put salve on the hurt. But we got some good news here. Jesus has already healed it. And if we will repent, if we will turn to past unforgiveness into the forgiveness that He's already provided, that's already there for us, if we will just walk into that, we'll find ourselves in the blessings of seeing those things healed inside of us so that we're whole again. Some of us are walking around with so much weight on us. And I kind of like to see this guy that's got a car on top of him, an automobile. Could be brand new. He's got the keys in his pocket. He could walk into the automobile and crank that up, and the automobile could work for him, and he could go where he needs to go. But instead, he thinks, I'm going to get this automobile where I need to go. And he picks the automobile up and struggles and struggles and struggles until finally he's maybe even got it on a dolly so that he can wheel it. And then he picks it up, and like a chariot, and he's like the horse on the chariot. He starts pulling that. Oh, I'm going to get it there. I'm going to get it there. Oh, I'm going to get it there. And that's what unforgiveness is doing to us. It's causing an unnecessary weight in life, not only on yourself, but also on the people around you that love you. Man, my wife during that period of time where I was struggling, she was miserable. She was like, what is wrong with you? Why did you talk to me like that? Why did you do that to me? And I just have to go, I don't know. And then I go off in my prayer closet. Praise God, there's a prayer closet. Praise God, He talks to us. Praise God, He's given us the answer right here in this Bible. And His Spirit lives inside of us so that we can just tap in and go, hey, what's going on? And if we're listening, He'll talk to us, tell us exactly what's happening. And if you don't hear it inside, you can hear it right here. And He says, like these verses like we just read. And everything that we're struggling with is the same way. He deals with us the same way. But in everything we're struggling with, we've got to go through it, make a decision to go past it to what He wants for us. And if we can do that with unforgiveness, we can get rid of the weight. We can stop pulling that old car along, and somebody go, hey, you know that thing will run. Oh, yeah, it'll run. What? No, that's not what I was talking about. Anyway, so without just, you know, belaboring this, I really feel like that this is a good opportunity, because there's some things that, you know, there's things coming up, and we've got to have our hearts clear to respond out of love to the people around us. There are people out there right now that need the love that we have to share. Man, there's people that need the love. And they need physical things, you know, like food, their bills paid, electric bill. They may need a wheelchair or a walker. Somebody needs some help and they're in your life. But we're unable to even see that there's a need because we're busy trying to pull the car, the thing that's holding us back. And that's a problem on the inside that can be fixed today. It can be fixed right now. This isn't rocket science. This is God science. He's saying, I have come to offer forgiveness. And if you will just see the forgiveness that I'm offering, what I've done for you, the load that I've taken off of you, let it go. Just let it go. That's forgiveness. Probably needed to find that, I guess, because some people go, yeah, well, I forgive, but I don't forget. No, that's not right. You look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 says, Peter's asking a question because Jesus just talked about forgiving people and freely, you know, whatever I've given, so you freely give. And Peter turns to him and says, well, wait a minute. Are you saying that I should forgive, like somebody offends me, I should forgive them like 7 times, you know? And Jesus goes, no, how about 7 times 70? It took me a while to do the math. I had to get my calculator out. In the end, it's like, no. And so what I've found out, and I think many of you know, is that forgiveness is a matter of walking in it so that every time something happens, we make the choice to say, I'm letting that go. I'm not going to drop that in my bag. It's not going to be a rock I'm going to throw in my bag. It's not going to be a part of this car I'm going to pick up and carry with me. I'm not going to pick up that load of unforgiveness. I'm going to let it go. Forgiveness is letting it go. And it's one of the reasons I like that Disney show. Let it go. Let it go. Or was that Let It Snow? Anyway, we gotta get to the place where we realize forgiveness is not something we want. And when we begin to see, unforgiveness is not something we want. That forgiveness is something we want. And when we begin to see and hear in our mind ourselves saying things that take us into a tinge toward negative towards another person or thing, we have to stop that thought with the word that we've hidden in our hearts so that we may not sin against God. That's what it's about. And so I'm just doing the best I can encouraging. And so as a person that's been through this myself, if you're finding yourself in that spot, maybe you've known this, but in the past, you knew it, but now you found yourself back in it again. Now's the time to get loose from it. And the way to get loose from that is in prayer. We acknowledge that we have an issue. Before our Creator, we're acknowledging to Him, I've got this issue. And honestly, it may be at some point where you can't get loose from the issue without His help, like, you know, some kind of prayer from another person or confession to another person. And that's what that scripture is about. If you will confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, you'll be healed of your unforgiveness or anything else. So that's what that may be. It may be that you need to come forward and let the pastors pray for you. I don't mind praying for you either. I think it'd be great if you want to just sit there and, okay, look, yeah, I had this. That's right. And I want to be free from it. And we'll pray with you and help you. It doesn't have to be like that, but maybe you're in that position where it is like that. If you want to, you can just sit right there where you are and we can just bow our heads. In just a minute, we're going to do that. Give everybody the opportunity to respond to what Father is saying to us today so that we can be the blessed people that He wants us to be. And we can bless the people around us without carrying some burden of unforgiveness into our lives and into our interactions with people around us. Will y'all bow with me? And we're going to pray. Our Father, thank you so much that you forgave us. You forgave us. And that is in the past. You said that you dropped our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, that you will remember our sins and our wrongs no more. Praise you, Father, for your goodness. Strengthen us now. Bring revelation and clarity to our hearts to see if there's a place where we've strayed into unforgiveness and a place that you don't want us to be, and that we can fight our way through that by coming to you right now. We're asking you to reveal to us if there's a place like that, anything in this, where we are harboring unforgiveness and we have bitterness that's grown up in our hearts. Release. Release the burden in this place so that the enemy does not have a stronghold, does not have a place in us. And we're free to worship you and praise you and do all the good things that you want us to do. Receive your blessings. So, with every head bowed, give us some privacy. I really think that if you are saying, yes, that's me, and I'm going to take care of it right here in this seat. I have unforgiveness, and right here in the seat, I want to take care of it. Would you raise your hand? Just, you can put it over your heart. You can just, but take your hand as a sign of surrender and just give it to the Lord and say, yes, I'm surrendering this to you. The other end of that is if you feel like you need some prayer, like you're not sure you can get loose from it, you need somebody to talk to about it, maybe you'd like to come up forward right now. I'll pray with you. Pastor Dad will pray with you. Just come right on up.
1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's speaking to Christians, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? That's all we have to do. And one of the most important things that I want to say to you right now, and I want you to get this, and God wants you to get it. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. One of the biggest problems that we have in spiritual warfare as Christians is the condemnations of the enemy. In the old times, the enemy came before God when all the angels were gathered together. Satan came. Job tells us, God asked him, where you come from? He said, walking to and fro on the face of the earth. God asked him, said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, yeah, you put a hedge around him. I can't get to him. Just let me have him. One of the first things that we have, since Satan is the accuser of the brethren, he's cast out. He can't accuse us before God anymore. Amen? Do you know where he can accuse us? You looking? Right here in your mind. Amen? And so one of the first aspects of forgiveness, if I've sinned, and I know I've sinned, and if we're Christians, when we sin, we know we've sinned. And we need to talk to the Lord right then and there as soon as we think can and say, Lord, I did wrong. We don't have to go repent and cry a bunch of tears and go through a whole lot of things or whatever. We just need to be honest with God and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. And at that moment, God remembers that sin no more against you. The problem is, we remember it. And so when we try to come before the Lord, or we try to do anything, that sin that we've committed or sins comes up and we feel unworthy and we don't feel like that we can come into the presence of the Father anymore. And so we stay away. He uses that guilt to keep us from the Father. So the first thing, with heads bowed and eyes closed right now, I want us to forgive ourselves. Forgive yourself, whatever it is, and understand that when you ask God to forgive you that, well, it was a year ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, God forgive you, forgave you of that. He cast it into the depths of the sea, and he remembers it no more against you. So stop bringing it up before him, and stop bringing it up before yourself. Don't let the enemy put that in your minds. Amen? And so now, you can confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. He doesn't remember your sins anymore, and he doesn't want us to remember them anymore either. And especially does he not want the enemy to use those things against us, so that that keeps us from coming into his presence and enjoying full fellowship with him. Amen. God wants full fellowship with you right now and for the rest of your life. Amen. So if anyone here needs to come join together with us in prayer here at the altar, you want somebody to talk to you or pray with you or lay hands on you or to anoint you or whatever, just come on right now if you want to do that. But at least do that where you are. Amen. And don't let the enemy deceive you anymore, bring up those past sins against you. Amen. Father, we thank you for the gift of your precious Son. We thank you for your marvelous love and grace. We thank you for giving us. Lord, we thank you for the so simple salvation that even a little child can understand it, that which includes that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to remember them no more against us and to cast them into the depths of the sea. We enter into that, Father, because of the precious blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and your precious Holy Spirit, and we thank you for it and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. It's been a good message. God bless you. Y'all have a wonderful day.